All right, good evening, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get the meeting started, if you wouldn't mind, by starting to stand up, and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, well, welcome to the Spring Valley Town Advisory Board meeting. Let the record show that we have a quorum, all members are present. And for the record, who is our planning representative?
Judith Rodriguez with Comprehensive Plan.
All right, and there we go, all right. I'll just read through some items. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of Commissioners, Zoning Commission, or the Clark County Planning Commission. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices, and please take all private conversations outside the room. All right, at this time, I'm gonna open it up for discussion for public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comment by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the center of the room here. State your name and spell your last name for the record. And if any member of the board wishes to extend the length of your presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or by the board or council by majority vote. So at this time, is there any member that would like to say a few words under this item? All right, seeing none, we'll move forward. Is there a motion for approval of the minutes of February 10, 2026.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Seeing none. All right, so for tonight's agenda, we have five items. Items 1, 2, 3, and 4 are related. So if the board is okay with us having a combined presentation, but voting on each item separately and taking item 5 as a separate motion. So if that's acceptable, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Okay, it's been moved to approve. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, informational items, Mr. Shannon.
Yeah, just want to let everybody know that Commissioner Naft is having a family and fun mini market Saturday, March 28th. It will be at the Helen Meyer Community Center, which is not too far from here, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
All right, thank you, Mr. Shannon. All right, is there the applicant or representative for items 1 through 4? All right, let me read this into the record. You can cool your heels until I finish reading. Or if you want to prepare, you can. So item 1 is PA-26-700003, Buffalo Las Vegas Land LLC. It's a plan amendment to redesignate the land use category from business employment to neighborhood commercial on 9.55 acres. Generally located east of Buffalo Drive and south of Sunset Road within Spring Valley. Item 2 is ZC-26-0052, Buffalo Las Vegas Land LLC, a zone change. It's to reclassify 9.55 acres from a commercial core zone to commercial general zone, generally located east of Buffalo Drive and south of Sunset Road within Spring Valley. Item 3 is VS-26-0053, Buffalo Las Vegas Land LLC, to vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Buffalo Drive and Arroyo Spring Street and Sunset Road and Rafael Rivera Way, and a portion of right-of-way being Tioga Way located between Sunset Road and Rafael Rivera Way within Spring Valley. And item 4 is WS-26-0054, Buffalo Las Vegas Land LLC, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, eliminate street landscaping; 2, increase retaining wall height; 3, allow attached sidewalks; and 4, alternative driveway. The design review is for a vehicle sales facility on 9.67 acres in a commercial general zone within the airport environs overlay, generally located east of Buffalo Drive and south of Sunset Road within Spring Valley. All yours.
Good evening. Marissa Furman, 1980, Buffalo Drive, on behalf of the applicants. Orient you to the site. We're on 10 acres just east of Buffalo Drive. We have the 215 Beltway to the south. The site is currently master plan business employment and zoned commercial core. Looking at the surrounding area, we have vacant land to the north, currently planned business employment and zoned commercial general. To the east, we have an existing industrial development that is master planned business employment and industrial park. And to the west, we have a vacant land here that is currently zoned RS-20. It's across Buffalo. We are here for a proposed car dealership. We have a slew of applications, as you just read off. To start, we have a master plan amendment going from business employment to neighborhood commercial, as well as a corresponding zone change from commercial core to commercial general. Staff is recommending approval of both of these applications. Looking at the surrounding area, multifamily, commercial, and retail can exist harmoniously. It's compatible with the area, and it's in line with the trend that's already out there. I'll also add as well, you know, we all know this stretch of 215 here, there's a ton of car dealerships already present. It makes sense for the area, and in that line of thinking, the master plan amendment and zone change are appropriate and should be approved. Moving into the design, as I have mentioned, this is a proposed car dealership for Tesla. So this is Tioga Way here that's coming off of Sunset. We have the 215 Beltway here, Buffalo here. On site will be one building, approximately 60,000 square feet. Access to the site will be from Tioga Way, as I said, with two driveways. The easterly driveway will be for delivery of inventory, that sort of thing, which snakes around the parking to the loading area. To the rear of the building. The westerly driveway is more so for customers. I know it's kind of hard to see here, but we have a customer parking noted closer to this portion of the building where the main entrance is for your everyday customers that come to look at cars and shop around. I'll show you on the elevation what that looks like. So again, just one building on site. The building will be home to your typical things that you would find in a dealership: your showrooms, your customer lounges, employee offices, break rooms, restrooms, things like that. So that'll be in this area. There will also be limited maintenance and repair, as typical with other dealerships, that will occur within the building, solely within the building, as you can see in this area. In addition to that, there will be a car wash accessory use. All of these uses are permitted conditionally, and or as an accessory use in CG, Therefore, we don't have any special use permits with this application. We meet all the conditions that are assigned by Title 30. Landscaping. The site will be landscaped around the perimeter of the site. As you can see, we have ample landscaping along the northern property line around the Tioga Way entrance point. We have ample landscaping within the parking lot. We meet all the code requirements. For instance, we have about 142 trees where 120 are required. So we try to do what we can to put additional landscaping within the site. I'll just show you for all of you that I'm sure have been around this area. Existing conditions are interesting here. The site sits well below street level, so it's a bit sunken in nature. So we're looking at Buffalo here and Rafael Rivera here. You can see about the 30-foot difference that it kind of slopes into the site from the view of the northern property line. You can see here that it's well below. So that landscaping that I just showed you is going to be internal to the site behind retaining walls that we're proposing, so not visible from the street. We are needing parking. We are well overparked on the site, which is good for car dealership. Code requires 8 spaces, which we provide for the customers. Overall, we have about 666 spaces, and that contemplates the outdoor storage, or outdoor display, rather, for the car dealership, as well as employee parking, so more than enough parking here on site. We do have some waivers. I'll show you the building elevation. Here's the building I was talking about. We have a max height of 24 feet, where 50 is permitted in CG. Your typical contemporary tilt-up concrete building. I talked about the customer entrance on the northeast corner of that building. So you can see here kind of with your aluminum and glass storefront. If you've seen other Tesla buildings around town, they kind of have that modern look. You know it when you see it, I guess. Like I said, we do have some waivers. Firstly, we have a waiver to eliminate the street landscaping along both Buffalo and Rafael Rivera. Coming back here, again, the site conditions kind of make this an interesting one. Plantings on the slope would be difficult, running irrigation up those slopes. On top of that, the Public Works has their own slope easements in these areas. So we've decided to put all of our landscaping internal to the site here and not along the Rafael Rivera and Buffalo Avenue street frontages. Staff recommends denial. However, if you read the staff report, they recognize the justification for this waiver, and although they have no objection to it, they have to recommend denial. Moving on to the second waiver, we do have proposed retaining walls along the western and southern property line due to the slope, in order to maintain that approximately three to one slope in that area. We're going to have a retaining wall up to 24 feet, or I believe 3 is permitted. And then along the western property line, it's about 13 feet or 3 is permitted. So over code requirement, however, because of the sunken nature of the site, it's not really going to be visible from the street, but it is a waiver. Again, based on the existing conditions, similar to that first waiver, staff has no objection, but again, they have to recommend denial. Moving into the third waiver, we have a waiver to allow the existing attached sidewalk to remain in place on Buffalo Drive, where a detached sidewalk is required. Again, this ties back to the existing conditions, that slope making it kind of difficult to build into that area. It would have to be modified. For example, more fill would have to be brought in. That retaining wall would be even higher than already is proposed right now. So we do have a waiver to leave that attached sidewalk as is. Staff is recommending denial of that waiver. Lastly, we have a waiver for reduced driveway geometrics. The grip depths of both access points, we have about 17 feet and 7 feet where 150 feet is required. Staff has no objection to that waiver due to the nature of this kind of business. it's going to see low levels of traffic on Tioga Way, and with, you know, the two different access points, it should not present an issue. Said lastly, but this is really last, is we do have a application for a few vacations. The slope easements that I talked about earlier, pad easements in yellow, as well as right-of-way here. And a slope, license and maintenance agreement. Staff is recommending approval of those vacations. That was a mouthful, but with that, I will answer any questions. Thank you.
All right. Let me bring it to the members of the public. Does anybody have any comments about this particular presentation? All right, seeing none, let's bring it back to the board. Questions from the board. Christine, do you have any? You're Justine, do you have questions? No? Matt? Let me, Christine, you have questions? All right, Patrick, you're on.
So I'm just trying to have a clear understanding as to why staff is recommending denial for the waivers of development standards, because it seems like a bit of a technicality unless I'm misunderstanding. The as it's written here, they are in favor of them with the exception of the detached sidewalks. Is that as we understand it?
I'll let staff weigh in, but I think because it's still not conforming to code, they have to recommend denial, but I think they can understand our justification. So we like to call it a soft denial, but I don't know, I'll let staff weigh in. There's
So she's correct in what she stated. The only waiver that staff is truly recommended denial is on the allowing the attached sidewalk to remain. The other waiver staff is saying that we understand the nature of that request and we could support it, but because that detached sidewalk is something that could change the design of the site, then that's why we cannot support the remaining waivers.
So staff is sticking to the letter of the law that's written right now, but really the development of this site doesn't necessitate that.
Correct.
Some sort of a technicality. All right. That's the only question I had.
Okay, so I have a supposition, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Let's say that you move forward with the detached sidewalks. How much width are we adding? And obviously, cost is going to increase. Can the facility function with the detached sidewalks?
So you were exactly right that costs will go up. It is something the applicant is looking into, whether it was a possible deal killer. Here I know, you know, the importance of the requirement for detached sidewalks for safety. And I know that this board can only vote on what's presented here tonight. The applicant is exploring some other options with Public Works to propose an alternative.
Right.
I know it doesn't really matter for what we're here to talk about tonight. But you're exactly right. It's going to drive up costs and
And there's no sidewalk requirements along Sunset, correct?
Sunset, we do not have a waiver for a detached sidewalk. It is a frontage road.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Sunset.
Sunset.
Let me show you the map. We have a vacant parcel to the immediate, to the north. Sunset is along here.
Yeah.
So we're not touching Sunset.
All right. Yeah, that's, never mind. Withhold my personal comments. So I'll bring it back to the board. Open for discussion or a motion.
Well, I would make a motion, but I want to make sure I'm explaining it properly. I would like to make a motion to approve with the added condition.
Excuse me, which one are we talking about?
I'm sorry. Let's start with number one. Let's go down the one. Let's go with number one. Yeah, so number one is PA-26-7003, the plan amendment. Is there a motion to approve, deny?
I would make a motion to approve with staff conditions.
All right, item one is motion to approve. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, motion carries. Item two is ZC-26-0052, which is a zone change. Is there a motion?
Staff conditions.
All right. Move to approve with staff conditions. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion carries. And lastly, VS-26-0053, which is a vacate and abandon. Is there a motion? Don't be shy.
I would make a motion to approve with staff conditions.
All right, you got the hat trick. Motion to approve. If there's no further discussion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, item four, which is the one that we were starting off with, WS-26-0054, which is the waivers of development standards. Patrick.
So I would like to make a motion to approve with the added condition that waiver of development standard number three have detached sidewalks installed along Buffalo Drive.
So you're recommending denial on that waiver, but approval on the remaining waivers?
Correct.
Okay. So denial of waiver number three and approval of one, two, and four.
Correct.
And the design review?
A motion to approve the design review.
So we're denying number three?
Approving one, two, and four.
One,
denial
two, and four.
Denial of three.
Okay.
Approval of the design review.
Got it.
With the condition of a detached sidewalk.
With the condition.
Yeah, all right, great. All right. Does any member of the board understand the motion? Do they need that reread for any reason? You understood?
No,
You want?
I would like for you to just kind of read it.
All right. All right. If you could just review the motion.
Oh, okay.
Patrick?
So approval of waivers one, two, and four, with denial of waiver three, approval of the design review with the condition for detached sidewalks.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions about the motion?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So approval for the design review would also mean that you would just approve the entire project? Or is it just for the proposal?
Oh, the intent, if I may, but correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, the intent is to approve the project as long as there's going to be detached sidewalks.
Correct, yes. When all is said and done, basically the staff is recommending denial simply because of the attached sidewalks currently.
Right.
Okay.
And they can't support that.
Yeah. Yeah. So given that, any other questions? All right. All right. Without further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We have number four.
That was the motion.
Four.
Yeah. Okay, can we proceed? Are we okay?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
cool.
Okay.
All right, is there an applicant or representative for item five? All right.
Can you stand, Phil?
Yeah, so let me read this into the record. If you want to go up to the, if you have anything to present. So item five is WS-26-0040, Stanfield, Tiffany Lay, waivers of development standards for the following. One, reduce setbacks, and two, reduce building separation for existing sheds in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.18 acres in an RS5-2 residential single-family 5.2 zone, generally located at south of West Park Court and west of Aspen Street within Spring Valley. Oh, yeah, so there's both of you. Just introduce your names and your address.
I apologize. I didn't bring stuff. I didn't know we were supposed to do a presentation.
That's okay. Just relax. Take your time. We're going to work with you through this. So just relax. I know it's a hard ask given that we're in a public city, but just go through the steps.
So we would like to request for the waivers. for our setback, that we put up three sheds, one that can be seen from the street, from the street view. The other two are behind our house and cannot be seen. They are 3 feet, or about 2.5 feet from the wall, from the back wall. And about 3.5 feet from the sidewall on our west side. And they are about 3.5 feet apart from each other. We put them up for storage use. My father, we moved him out of our house, and or moved him out of his house into ours. So we bought a new storage unit to fulfill his needs for all his stuff. And we also made it a little bit longer and taller, so that way we can fit more stuff in it down the road. We do Halloween, so we have all of our Halloween decorations in there. I have about 7 different animatronics, 7-foot, 10-foot animatronics that I put in there that I would really not like to put in a actual storage unit. So I would like to have them on the property with us. So we do have, that's the big one that we just built.
We did
have this one up here about four years ago. It's been up there with no problems. And then after we put this one up, when we got called with this.
And when we went down to the Planning Commission, we asked them about this one, and they said we didn't have to get waivers for that one because it couldn't be seen from the street. And then in doing the process for this shed is when they said, no, you need to do it for all of them. This one is a metal shed, and we have no problems if you need to move that one. The other ones, the other two, we can't.
They are 11, about 10 to 11 feet tall. They weigh approximately about almost 8,000-9,000 pounds
and
each.
My father-in-law is still paying on the tough shed. And yeah. The only reason that we put that there is because they said it wasn't a problem because it couldn't be seen from the street.
And could you clarify who they are?
The planning.
Okay, got it.
The planning.
Got it.
We went down at the our county building when we first got the notice for this. For the she shed, that's what I keep all my craft stuff in, is that it was the she shed. When we went down there, and they said it was no problem for that other one.
Okay. Do you have anything further? Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right, let me bring this back to the public. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment on the presentation? Sir? Just come on up, state your name, and just address us, and then we'll ask any follow-up stuff.
My name's Gary Morello. I'm the neighbor on the back side of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walk out, I just see this big, tall barn.
Okay.
So it's blocking my view.
All right. So I take it you're opposed to the application.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? All right.
No.
Thank you.
Sir,
thank
you. Please sign in?
They're asking you to sign in. Thank you. Any other member of the public? Yeah, hang on for a moment. Hang on for a minute. Any other member of the public that would like to say something? All right, just to restate, this gentleman just spoke, and so he's opposed to the application. Just be aware of that. All right, let's bring it back to the board. Go ahead.
Just to the gentleman who spoke.
We don't want to do a dialogue. All right, but if you have questions about the design, okay, so it's clear that he's opposed to the application, all right?
I mean, it is just it's
understand.
A barn.
Understand,
barn.
Understand. Yeah, let me try to control the meeting. I'm the chair. All right. Any other questions, Christine? All right, Patrick, do you have questions?
Yeah. So you're saying that sheds A and C are unable to be relocated because of the weight of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
The shed C is... what, 8 feet, 8 feet wide, about 12 feet long. So it's a long shed. It can't be moved. The other one can't be moved. It's a 10 by 10, just because of the weight.
Well,
I can destroy it.
Can't versus physically impossible.
Yeah. Well, physically,
undesirable
to
move. Right. So it's an undesirable move because of the amount of effort that it would take to do that.
Yes.
And let's just say they could be moved. So you have, as I see on your, a triangular backyard to the west of that. What would prohibit them being to code if they were moved to that section of the property?
So we do parties and barbecues and stuff. So we have parties in the backyard. We do set up a pool in the backyard, like one of the big upstate up pools. And we have pool parties, we have barbecues, we have Super Bowl parties, birthday parties. So we use all that area for set up of tables and chairs and entertainment stuff.
So
we do have a barbecue pit that we do use during the wintertime that we go out and barbecue and sit around and cook s'mores and stuff. We have our friend's kids comes over, so we always go out and entertain him out there.
So altruism and personal desire aside.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason prohibiting the ability to do that. So there is technically space available that these could live and be to code.
Yes.
And right, and you do understand that the reason these setbacks are in place, aside, you know, and I'll throw out the aesthetics from the street, fire safety is of premier importance. Is the ability for a fire to jump from one structure to the other, which is why we have these setbacks. So that's why it's a significant issue. Chair, I have more questions.
All right. Any other questions? Justine, do you have any questions?
Yes. When were you first made aware of that you were in violation of the requirements?
I want to say September of last year.
Okay, and then
how long were
the first two sheds
up?
You were saying that you had those two
for
about 4 years. 4 years prior.
Yeah.
And then when was the
last,
the final one, the
seat put up? The seat was put up just before we got this. It was put up maybe a week, 2 weeks.
So you
maybe
were
a month.
So you were aware that there was a violation prior to that, or you didn't get violation until after?
After.
Thank you.
Any more, or is that it?
No, that
all right, Matt, do you have any questions? All right. Have you have any discussion with planning staff on this application?
When we had to go and do all the application waivers and stuff, we did.
All right.
We talked to them about, they told us what we needed to do.
All right. Was there any written justification that you provided?
Yeah, there was a justification letter that we had to provide.
Okay. All right, because it sounded like you didn't turn anything according to the report. Excuse me. I'm not arguing. I'm just making a statement. All right.
Did you see the justification with your package?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But the report said that there was no justification. That's why I'm trying to reconcile. All right. So what led you to believe that you could put the first shed in without a permit?
When we looked at what was required, it was under a certain square footage. So online, that's what we found, was that it was under a certain square footage. And as long as it wasn't right up against the wall, then we were fine.
Yeah, we couldn't find the setback. We didn't know there was a setback.
All right. So basically, you did your own research. You didn't contact anybody. And who put the shed up?
We had a contractor come and put it in.
And the contractor didn't say anything?
No.
All right. Was the contractor licensed as far as you knew?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then, so you're aware that even if we were to approve moving forward in the process, that you still need to get a building permit, right?
For
all right, so
shed?
For all three sheds.
Okay.
So unless I'm wrong, staff, if you wouldn't mind, am I correct in that they have to apply for a building permit?
The building department will determine that. One of the conditions is that if there is a need for building permits, they will have to acquire, obtain those within a year of the approval if this application is approved.
All right. So be aware that if there's a need for a building permit, the building department could deny the permits. Okay. All right. Bring it back to the board. If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to deny with staff conditions.
All right. There's a motion to deny the application with staff conditions. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All right.
I'm a nay.
Oh, a nay?
Thank you.
All right.
4-1?
4-1. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Moving on. There's no general business. Let's go to the comments by general public. Is there any member of the general public that would like to make any comments? Is there any member of the general public would like to make a comment?
Yes, for sure.
All right. Seeing none, our next meeting is going to be March 10. Motion to adjourn. All right, motion to adjourn. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
6:36.